I cannot preach as my Lord preached, but I can study His Word and try to imitate Him. And what I'm showing you today, this morning, on how He dealt with a proud preacher, and tonight, how He dealt with a humble sinner, and the way He dealt with them in wisdom was different. He didn't deal with everyone the same way. Just as a physician, all of his patients are sick. And his goal and end is to make them well. But he doesn't give them all the same medicine because they all aren't inflicted with the same particular problem. They'll both all have disease, but it manifests itself in a different way. For example, our Lord said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. He said to the woman I preach on tonight, if you had asked me, I'd give you living water, if you knew who's speaking to you. He said to the rich young ruler, because he knew this man's possessions meant more to him than God, he said, you go sell what you have and take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say that to the woman. He didn't say it to Nicodemus. He said to the Canaanite woman, the Gentile woman that came to him seeking mercy, he said, it's not right to give children's bread to dogs. He didn't call Nicodemus a dog. And he didn't call the woman at the well a dog, but he did this woman. He said to the father of the sick child, the Lord Jesus said to him as if rebuking him. He said, I brought my sick boy to your disciples. They couldn't do anything. And our Lord looked at him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. That's when he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So every man's need is the same. Everybody here today is a sinner. I know that. Everyone here has come short of the glory of God. But every person here, every person's point of rebellion is not the same. Our idols are not the same. Our knowledge and interest is not the same. You take Nicodemus here in chapter 3. He was a Pharisee. He was a preacher. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest religious court in the world. A man of great, great, great fame and power in religion. This woman we're talking about tonight, not only unknown, she's unnamed. God doesn't even name her. Nobody knows her name. Nicodemus was the highest rank. This woman was poor and unknown. He was wealthy, powerful. She was unknown, poor. You can't find Nicodemus drawing his own water. But this woman had to. He was a favored Jew. She was a despised Samaritan. He was a man of the strictest morals. She was a woman with no reputation. He came to Christ. I know he came by night under the cover of darkness, but he did come. She didn't come to Christ. He came to her. Nicodemus was looking for Jesus. She wasn't. He's looking for water. He said to Nicodemus, he shut Nicodemus up for something he couldn't do. He shut Nicodemus up for something that he couldn't do. Didn't understand. And no power on earth could do it for him. Born again. He gave the woman a simple direction. Ask me. Ask me, and I'll give you living water. That's a lot different, isn't it? And that's what I'm talking about, wisdom. If there's any place in the universe where men need wisdom, it's up here. If there's any place in the universe where there's a lack of it today, that's right. That's exactly right. So this morning, let's look at chapter 3 at the proud preacher, how Christ deals with him, and tonight at the humble sinner. Does this story of Nicodemus have a special application for this day? Very, very much. Especially in eastern Kentucky and West Virginia and southern Ohio. This is a religious, religious town. This is a super religious area. Nicodemus was a super religious person. Oh, he was very religious. He was so religious. There was a man of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees looked down on everybody. They were holier than thou. Don't come near me. That Pharisee, when that woman washed our Lord's feet, he said, if she'd never touch me, and if he's a prophet, he wouldn't let her touch him. That's how holy he was. He was just so, I tithe, I fast, I give alms. I'm not like that publican, the Pharisee said. Religious. And today, I do not know of any generation as religious as this one. We've got religion 24 hours a day on radios and television and just any brand and kind you can imagine. But most of it is self-glorifying, flesh. Second thing about Nicodemus, he was a man of knowledge and material in religious matters. He was a ruler of the Jews. It says that. He was a Pharisee and ruler of the Jews, a man who searched the Scriptures, a man who read the Bible and the books. You say, but we read the Bible. He did too. He was a teacher of the Old Testament Scriptures. And today, Bibles and books are plentiful. Men are reading the Bible, men and women, young people. Like the Pharisees of old, they're praying on the street corners. They're praying in public places. They're doing all these things. Works. Religion abounds. And Nicodemus felt like he knew God. Listen to verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know. We know. It's hard to find somebody today who doesn't know. Well, I know my Bible. I know what I believe. Every mother's son's an expert on the Bible in this generation. We know. That's what Nicodemus said. We know. He came to the Lord and said, I know. I know God, and I know who comes from God, and I know who speaks for God. I know you're from God, as if Christ needed his confirmation. I know. Isn't that sad? I wish I could find somebody that didn't already know. An empty vessel is hard to find. One old Puritan said a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made himself. They're hard to find. Nicodemus came the wrong way, didn't he? I know. Master, I know. I know you came from God. And here's another thing. Nicodemus was a man who was impressed by what he saw. He never said a word about what Christ said and taught. He was taken up with the miracles. We know you came from God. No man could do these marvelous, wonderful works except God be with him. God has to be in this because it's so wonderful outwardly. What we're saying today, look at the crowds. Look at the people. Look at the miracles. Look at all these things. God's in that. Is he? Is he? He was impressed. Nicodemus was impressed by what he saw. Simon Magus was too. by what he saw. The people looked just above here in John chapter 2, verse 23. Now, when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. They saw. A man's never been saved by seeing. He's saved by hearing. I hear this little poem, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Not me. Not me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. You can see things and be deceived. Hear God's word and be enlightened. The eyes are not where the soul is fed, the ears. The ears, that's where the soul is fed, through the ear, through the hearing of the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Nicodemus, with these people, listen, they saw the miracles, verse 24, but Christ didn't commit himself to them. He knew them. He knew all men. He needed not that any man should testify of man. He knew what was in man. Nicodemus was religious, a man of knowledge in religious matters, a man who thought he knew, and a man was impressed by what he saw. And in verse 3, our Lord revealed to him the whole problem. He answered and said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's the word see there mean? What is the word see? You can write this in the margin of the Bible. The word see there is perceived. Perceive. Understand. Know. It's like a father teaching a boy how to use a tool. And he'll show him, he said, now you see? You see what we're doing? Do you perceive? Do you understand? Do you know now? I've shown you. Do you perceive? So man can't know. You see, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not what you see with the eye. It's what you know in the heart. The kingdom of God is the covenant mercies of God. The kingdom of God is the will and purpose of God, the new creation. The new creation that shall abide when everything else passes away. Turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 11 through 14. Listen to this. He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, God's will, God's purpose, God's everlasting covenant. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God has purposed to have a people like Christ. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons. According to the good pleasure of his own will. Having predestinated us to sons. According to the good pleasure of his own will, wherein he made us accepted in Christ. There'll be a people. There'll be a new heaven, new earth. People like Christ, redeemed. Kingdom of God. And Christ said, it's given to you to know those. He's talking to his disciples. But to them it's not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away that which he hath. His false ideas and conceptions will fade away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, they don't see, and hearing, they don't hear, and neither do they understand. A man's got to be born again to perceive, to understand, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. The kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about, the kingdom. Even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. This is Christ. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are under him, it's manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. The Father is not under the Son. And when all things shall be subdued unto Christ, then shall the Son himself also be subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That's the kingdom of God. Now turn to 1 John 5. 1 John 5, verse 11. No, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true. We're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God. This is eternal life. This is the kingdom of God. And this is what our Lord is saying to Nicodemus. One more verse, Luke 17, verse 20. Luke 17, verse 20. Now listen carefully here. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, when shall the kingdom of God come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, not with outward show. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's not meat and drink. It's not outward show. Not outward profession. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is not in outward show. It's within you. We're impressed with outward show. We're impressed with all these things that impress men, but God's not impressed. The kingdom of God is a heart relationship with God. And a man can't see that till he's born again. Till God gives him grace, till God gives him life, till God comes in and dwells, opens his eyes, spiritual eyes, opens his ears, spiritual ears, gives understanding to his heart. That's what he's saying to Nicodemus. It's a new birth. Now listen, so Nicodemus answers, the reaction of Nicodemus. I want you to get his reaction. Here's this religious man. I'm sure his garb, he wore something that revealed his accomplishments. Like men wear robes today with certain colors and markings to distinguish a doctor of letters or a doctor of law or a doctor of religion. Nicodemus had all this impressive show and the synagogues and the temples and all these things. And Christ said, that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's in here, in the heart. And you'll never know that till you're born again. And listen how he replies. And he says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, that's ridiculous. And it shows that this man, with all of his so-called knowledge and wisdom, is mocking. He's mocking. He's making mocking statements. What he doesn't understand, he makes fun of it. I know he didn't understand. And I know too often that natural men do not understand this message of grace and of God's glory in Christ. But I'll tell you, truth can't be disposed of by mocking it and ridiculing it. You don't dispose of truth by making fun of it. They're making fun of the new birth today. But I will say this to every person who will hear my voice. Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In making fun of being converted, you've been converted, you're still converting people, preacher? That's all right, except you be converted and become a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of God. That's what my Lord said. Mock it if you want to. Except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know when we'll all die, but I know we will. I don't know how we'll fare in the judgment, but we'll all be there. I know these things. You don't destroy truth by mocking it. I don't know what most people think of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I do know this, one day every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord. I do know that. That's true. But Nicodemus, he wasn't being very wise. He mocked him. Well, our Lord's not like us. I probably would have turned and walked away. I probably would have said goodbye to Nicodemus. I probably would have shown him the door. When he made that foolish statement, can I go back in my mother's womb and be born? Is that what you're talking about? Is that how we're going to be born again? Hit the road, Jack. That's what. But thank God our Lord's more passionate than we are. Compassionate. Tender. He was tender. Listen to what he's saying. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the water, that's the word of God. The word of God. No substitute. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. We're born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the word of God. The water here is the word of God. Except a man be born of the word and of the spirit of God. I've often said this, when a child is conceived in a mother's womb, there are two things present, always infallible, except when Christ was born of the virgin. There's a man, and there's a seed. There's an agent, and there's a seed. There's not going to be any birth till there's an agent and a seed. And this new birth, there's not going to be any new birth except two things are present, the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit of God is the agent, born of the Spirit of God, born from above, born from heaven, born from above, born of the Spirit of God, and born of the Word of God, the Word of God. We're born again not of corruptible seed, semen from a man. We're born of incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, those two things will be present. And he says this in the next verse, that which is born of the flesh, that's flesh. That which is born of man is man. That which is born of the earth is earth. And that which is born of the Spirit of God is spirit. Nicodemus was smart. Nicodemus had been to preacher school. Nicodemus had graduated from the best school. There were two schools in that day, Gamaliel and a fellow, I forget, starts with an S. There's just two, but Paul went to the school of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. And Nicodemus went to one of them, and he was a brilliant man. He knew the scriptures. He knew the tabernacle. He knew the Holy of Holies. He knew how wide the phylacteries were on the robes, and he knew about the ordinances and the ceremonies and the feast days and the holy days and the Passover days and the Pentecost. He knew all these things. He was a student of these things. But he didn't know why. He didn't know what these things meant and taught. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know substitution. He didn't know God's the mysteries of regeneration, the mysteries of justification, the mysteries of sanctification, the mysteries of redemption. He didn't know the kingdom of God within. He knew the outward. And that which is born of the flesh can understand the natural. He knew how many bricks were in the tabernacle, in the temple. He knew how much gold was in the vessels. He knew the mercy seat was certain width and length and breadth, but he didn't know what the mercy seat represented. And our Lord said, that which is born of the earth is earth, that which is born of the Spirit is born of God and knows the way of God and the will of God and the purpose of God, the mysteries of God. And all this is going to be destroyed. Heaven and earth will pass away. It's not a tabernacle. No, its memories are going to remain. The sacrifices, nor their memories, the laws, the Ten Commandments, that's all gone. And what we need to know is that which will remain. Christ and His kingdom. He delivers up the kingdom to the Father, the redeemed, the renewed, the recreated. Now, don't be amazed, Nicodemus, when I say to you, you must be born again. Don't be amazed. Don't be amazed. And I'll tell you how it takes place. Verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Preacher, what's the wind? That's the Holy Spirit. I told you when a man's born again, the Spirit of God's there, the invincible, conquering, quickening, awakening Spirit of God. Power of the Spirit of God is there. And the Word. And He awakens whom He will. The Son, turn to John 5 a minute. John chapter 5, verse 21. For the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Quickeneth whom He will. And the wind blows where it will. You say the wind is the Spirit of God? Oh, yes. Turn to Ezekiel. Would you do this? Would you look at Ezekiel chapter 37? You remember, these are the things Nicodemus knew, but he didn't know what they meant. Nicodemus had read this more times than you and I, but he didn't understand it. Ezekiel 37. You remember, God took Ezekiel 37, took him out there and let him look over that valley where that great battle had been fought many, many years before. A lot of men had been dead, killed, and they left them there, and their bones were laying out there in the desert. Bones. Bones of warriors who died, and the eagles and vultures had plucked the skin and sinews off their bones, and they were bleached bones and burned by the sun and barren bones and covered with sand, just bones. Verse 2, He caused me to pass by round about, and behold, there were many, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, Lord, you know, I can't make them live. They can't make themselves live. But you can, and therefore you know. Well, He said, preach to them, prophesy unto these bones, and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you'll live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I'm the Lord God. So I preached as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there's no breath in them. No wind, no life, no breath. So He said to me, prophesy to the wind. Son of man, prophesy to the wind, to the breath, to the spirit, life, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded them, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a great army. Nicodemus had read that. Nicodemus didn't know what it meant. I know what it means. Men are dead in Adam. Dead in Adam. Oh, they got flesh. They walk around. They got all these things, but no spiritual life. No understanding of God. No relationship. And we preach the Word of God to them. And the Spirit of God comes and takes that Word and gives them life. That's right. And they live. And verse 8, watch this now back at my text, John 3:8. The wind blows where it pleases. Now listen, all the bones in the world didn't live that day. Just these bones in that valley, in that particular valley. See, the wind's sovereign. It's beyond man's control. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound. You can't tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Everyone's born. The Spirit's invincible. He's sovereign, beyond man's control, and he's irresistible. That's right. Our Lord said that. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Well, Nicodemus answered, do I detect a willingness now on his part to listen? There's no mocking now. Listen. He said, how can these things be? How can these things be? Do I detect an open ear? Do I detect a willing heart? Maybe. I think he was with Joseph of Arimathea when they cut the body of Christ out of the grave. But he says to him, are you a master of Israel? Are you a preacher? Are you a teacher? You don't know these things. What I've just read from Ezekiel 37, I'd say they're a preacher. Do you, and what we're reading here in John 3, do you not understand what he's saying here? Most of them don't. Most of them will tell a sinner, go down to the church and get yourself born again. But that's not, we're born of the Spirit. You go and hear the Word, but the Spirit that makes the Word effectual. Are you a master of Israel? Now listen, verily I say to you, what I'm telling you is the truth. I speak what I know and testify what I've seen, and you're not receiving it. Christ said in John 5, he said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Let another come in his own name. Him you will receive. Isn't that sad? In our day, people come, they don't teach the Word, they teach what they think. All the different ways and plans, and folks follow them just like a Pied Piper. He said, Nicodemus, I've told you what I know, and I told you what's true, but you won't receive my witness. And then he brought out something here. He said, if I've told you earthly things, what earthly things? Well, he's not talking about the speed of light or speed of sound or Newton's law or the law of gravity. He's talking about, I told you the Passover, showed you the Passover in the Old Testament. I showed you the temple and the priest and the mercy seat and the sacrifices, the cities of refuge, all these things. You've got these earthly things, these earthly types and shadows. And you know what he's saying, Cecil? He's got these earthly types and shadows, and you don't believe them. You don't understand them. You don't lay hold of them. What if I told you about the secret counsels of God? Would you understand that? What if I told you about God's sovereign covenant and election and will and purpose whereby he established the covenant, everlasting covenant, and designed and decreed a heaven a new heaven and a new earth, a new nation, a new people, a new Israel, redeemed by the blood of his Son, and how that Christ took upon himself the responsibility of their redemption and came to save them by obeying the law and dying on the cross. Would you understand that? You know, they were offended in John 6 by what he said, and he said to them, does this offend you? Wait till you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was. You talk about being offended. If you don't understand these things, the types and shadows and pictures, how can you understand the fulfillment? Isn't that right, Ronnie? You see, these old Jews tried to make salvation in keeping that Sabbath day. That Sabbath day is Christ. They tried to make a prerequisite for salvation, circumcision. That's of the heart. They took all these laws and tried to make them the way to please God. It's Christ is our lawkeeper. And that's, then he goes, all right. Nobody's ascended to heaven but the Son of Man. Nobody's going to penetrate the secret counsels of God and eavesdrop at the door and find out anything but he that came down from heaven. But here's the way. Listen, here's the fulfillment. Earthly things, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Here's the remedy. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the cause of death, the fiery serpents. Christ became a man in our nature. He was lifted up. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the gospel. That's the remedy. And here's the results. That whosoever looks to him, believes on him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And here's the reason. God loved. God loved the world. Nations, tribes, kindreds, tongues, people over all the world, and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He's already condemned. But he sent his Son that this world might be saved. That's the mysteries. The mysteries of Christ and his church. Christ and his people. Christ the fulfillment of all these things. A man doesn't see that. That he's born again. Doesn't see it. Doesn't perceive it. Understand it. You do. Been born again. Born from above of the Word. And a man won't be a partaker of that or enter into it unless he's born again.